You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. I am Tom Benson with Caitlin Whiteside and Becky Morgan. Caitlin and Becky, three is the magic number. Racing has played three games. We've got three wins. With each win, we get 3 points. How the hell are we feeling?
I don't know what to feel. I don't know what this position is. I was just telling, you know, my friends online, like, we're in seventh place, and I feel like we just won the damn, like, Club World Cup. Like, we're killing it. We're killing it right now.
Yes. That is exactly how I feel, you know, to quote one James Brown, I feel good. You know, that's, it's just.
But did you know that you would?
Gosh. Very nice, Becky. No, honestly, I did not. And I don't think any of us did. But this is a great feeling. Everyone just bask in it while we can.
Let's live in the moment. Let's enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it. Statistically speaking, I think it is safe to say that Racing is probably not going to lose another game for the rest of the calendar year. That might not occur.
Tom!
That is why they play the season, is to make sure that the results are honest. We've got a lot to talk about. But first of all, there are other things going on in Big Perp Nation. Becky, let's get to the starting line.
I mean, this starting line is honestly going to be a recap of all the games that have happened since our last podcast, because if you haven't completely blanked it out of your mind, the last episode we were left with the grim task of recapping the Orlando game, which let's just pretend it didn't happen, and that was no fun for anybody. And so we've definitely earned our karmic reward for having the schedule line in a way that we get this episode, where we have Racing having three wins, and that's only Big Perp, because Little Perp, the W League team, has started playing, and they have played two games, and they have also won those two games. So in the last 10 days, my friends, Racing across all Racings has had 5 wins, 12 goals, and 15 points in 10 days.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's wild. And as a very brief recap of what has happened, I'm sorry, I'm not going to recap Little Perp because I don't want to take a half an hour.
Wait, Becky, can we call them Little Big Perp?
Little Big Perp?
Yes.
I will have a hard time remembering that they're Little Big Perp. And then what is Big Racing then? Big Perp?
No, just Big Perp.
Just Big Perp. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Just Big Perp.
Sorry, right. That was my really.
Hey, these are rules that need to be established.
Okay. Yeah. Continue. Sorry, Becky.
Okay, so I'm not going to recap Little Big Perp because that is just too much, and we don't want to spend a whole half an hour just talking about all the wonderful goals and wins that we have scored, my friends. So just as a brief recap, first win for Racing was Friday before last, where Racing beat Chicago 3-0. It started with Savannah DeMello forcing an own goal in a penalty, and then was followed up very shortly after with Wong Shuang converting yet another penalty. And then it was Parker Goins who put the absolute nail in the coffin for Chicago off an assist from Tembi Kotlana. So that is really exciting to have Parker get her first goal, to have Tembi get her first assist, and to have Wong Shuang get her first goal in the NWSL, because the only other goal she scored was in the Women's Cup, and that makes her the first Chinese international to ever score in the NWSL. So, whoa, that is a huge, huge number of firsts for Racing. So that was 3-0. And then they followed that up the following Wednesday with our first Women's Cup match, where we played Kansas City. And at first, it was a little worrying because Michelle Cooper got on the board early in the 17th minute, and they just, like, played Savannah DeMello out of the game for those first 20 minutes. It was like, I was sitting next to Caitlin, and she was like, did Savannah even have a touch? No, barely. But don't worry, because she did get a touch very soon after that, when she scored an absolute banger of a goal in the 25th minute with the outside of her right foot.
It was so pretty.
That curled it in. I mean, it is an someone in All 411 wrote an article just about that goal. That is how amazing that goal is. And better,
the audacity and the skill you have to take a goal like that is just off the charts, and Sav has it. I mean, what else can you say? Like, that's so impressive.
So impressive. And it's also impressive that Jordan Baggett got her first assist by reading a bad ball out of the back from AD French, that she was able to intercept, send right to DeMello, and set that whole thing in motion. So again, we're just all these firsts are just happening all over the place for racing. And then DeMello just had to do it again. And 5 minutes later, she scored another goal. It was another great goal. I mean, like, it would be a great goal, but if she didn't like completely overshadow probably every goal racing would ever score for the rest of their history with her first one. And so that left the half at 2-1. And then Ari Borges came in and about 2 minutes later scored a wonderful goal, chipping it over the keeper with yet another assist from Tembi Katlana. And this just absolutely must have set Dabinia off, because she had to get on the board and literally ran the whole ball down like the field and was like, God damn it, I'm scoring, and did. Yeah. And she beat us in transition off a corner kick. That's fine. Game ended 3-2. And then just yesterday on Saturday, in a weird quirk of the schedule, we played Kansas City yet again. Don't ask me why. It's because the NWSL scheduling gods suck. But yes, we played Kansas City twice in 4 days. And
Morgan, I think that just means that the scheduling gods suck for Kansas City, because it worked out pretty good for racing.
It did. It did. Which I just have to say was, I know people have very, very, you know, mixed feelings about puns, but racing's social media calling their performance a KC masterpiece is one of my favorite in the world.
Very good.
So good job, Racing Comms. This was a KC masterpiece. And the score, it was a 2-0 score. And who started the scoring? Who else but Savannah DeMello, by charging the keeper and beating him. And she said, well, I just heard Carson Pickett and Jalen Howell behind me saying, run for it. So I did. And of course she scored off it. And then 15 minutes later, it was Savannah DeMello assisting Kirsten Davis for the second goal of the night. And despite the fact Kansas City came back hard and actually had a really good second half where they, you know, ended up beating us in terms of expected goals and shots and everything, Racing's defense really held on, and it ended 0-2. And that is how Big Perp got 9 points in 10 days.
Man, what a week and a half that was.
Yeah, man. But what?
Love it.
I don't know what to do with myself. That was a lot.
Well, I do hope at least that the players know what to do, and that is to rest for a couple days, because they've earned it. They've earned it.
Yes, they can rest and keep the momentum up. We are certain of that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. City of Louisville, if you see Savannah DeMello, if you see Jalen Howe, especially Jalen Howe, she looks sleepy, just be quiet. If she wants to put her head down and take a little nap at Quills, that's good. Let her rest. She has earned it.
I do have to say really quickly, I know that we're dragging at the starting line, but in the post-game press conference yesterday, I've never heard Jalen Howell so tired in my life. It was like she sat down in every single one of those 270 minutes that she played, 270 plus minutes that she played in the last nine days hit her all at once, because she just like sat down and was suddenly like glazed in the eyes and like, So, yes, Jalen, I hope you got an excellent night's sleep, and I hope you get a week of excellent night's sleep. So you have definitely, definitely earned it.
Absolutely.
Without question. Well, we have a lot to talk about these games, this great week for big racing. But let's quickly get to our commercial break, where we promote this week. You're a racing fan. You are riding high, the highest we have probably ridden as racing fans since the Women's Cup, since Katie Lund put one through the back of the net. We're feeling good, and you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to go to the game Saturday night. I am going to watch Racing Exercise a Demon against the North Carolina Courage. And when you do, go down to the Estopinal End and sit with the Lavender Legion, sing a song, do a chant. It's a great place to watch a game. What do you think, Whiteside?
I completely agree. They need people down there to keep up the cheers and the chants. And, you know, watching it from home, you can hear that. You know, people on the broadcast can hear it. They know when we're being loud down there, and it's the players love it. You know, it's just make it a great atmosphere for the players. So definitely come down and check it out. And everyone's really nice down there. If you want to try and play drums, you know, they're always looking for drummers. So just get involved. It's a blast down there.
Even just for a few minutes, check it out. Cheer. It's so fun. And bring some friends with you. We need to get the attendance up. We need to, now that they're winning, help them keep the momentum. So, I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, you get 4 extra, you know, anytime tickets that you can add on. Now would be a great time to bring someone with you. So yeah, let's have them welcome them home to a nice, big, excited, loud crowd.
Yes.
Well put. And we're looking forward, and we're going to talk about that game, about the North Carolina Courage, a little bit later. But first off, Racing Louisville fans, wherever you are listening to this podcast, maybe you're in your car driving to work. Maybe you're taking your dogs for a walk. Maybe you're doing a little ironing. Maybe you are pretending to work, doing a little typey-typey, but is the brain there? No. Take a second. Close your eyes and just feel the big perp vibes. 3 wins in 8 days. Is this the best run in racing history? I mean, it's got to be, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Racing's never won 3 consecutive games before. We were really excited last year when they won 2 consecutive games. And so, like, yes, they still have not beaten their streak of 3 consecutive games in the regular season. But, I mean, this was an immensely short period of time to get a lot of wins. So, yes, this is definitely historic for Racing.
At the end of the season, however this season goes, someone is talking to you and they say to you, Caitlin Whiteside, hey, tell me about that 3-game stretch over 8 days in May. What are you going to tell that person about this stretch?
I am just going to have a picture of our defense and point at it and say, look at that. Look how much better the defense is. We only allowed two goals over these 3 games.
0 goals in regular season.
Exactly. 0 goals in regular season, only 2 in Challenge Cup. This is a massive improvement, and it's so impressive. Like, yes, we have little lapses here and there, but it's night and day compared to last year and the year before that. And Abby Erceg back there, my goodness, she's just her and Carson and, you know, everybody across the back line. It's just, it helps a lot. You can win games with a good defense. Did you guys know that?
What?
The thing with Abby, though, is that, I mean, she's really taken control and directed the players. Like, Racing's biggest problem last season in particular is that they were just fragmented. Like, they were going different directions. They didn't know who was moving where, and so there were gaps. Like, that is not happening on Abby Erceg's watch. Like, she is keeping everybody in line. After last night's game, Kim particularly called her out and said, no, she was telling Lester, go help low cover, come back, help cover goal, go over here, do this. And Lester was like, yes, ma'am, I will do it. And it worked.
Yeah. You could tell it was noticeable. Yeah. So I would just point to our defense and say, look at that. It's beautiful.
What about you, Morgan? What would you say if anyone asked you about these last three games?
Well, I hopefully say we'll say that that is just the beginning of three more wins, and that it is not an isolated three-game streak. We will have to see. But that is the energy I'm putting out into the universe. But what I will say is that, I mean, they're learning their lessons. That is the biggest takeaway from me. You know, we heard all these first 2 years, we're learning. This is a learning experience. We're going to learn from this. We're going to learn from this. And you could find little things. I mean, I became an expert at, like, you know, gold panning. You're like, you know, shaking out all the muck to find that one little nugget to be like, yeah, this was a positive in my writing. And this season, you know, I was worried that we were getting to have to do that again, where it's like, okay, you know, how many individual mistakes are going to cost us games? How many, you know, defensive lapses, or, you know, not too many touches in the final third, not enough shots being taken, all this stuff we've talked about 1,000 times, you know, how many more times will they have to learn this lesson? And, you know, they promised us, they said, we're going to learn and we're going to get better. Bear with us. We've heard that before, but this time they were absolutely right. And, you know, what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing a team that knows when to get back and to become a really dense, compact defensive unit with all the midfielders backing, you know, helping in defense. That was a huge mistake that cost us the Portland game, when Portland could just flood the box and then there'd be like two defenders like, well, what the hell do I do when I'm trying to cover four people? We've completely fixed that. That is why, despite the fact that Kansas City got a lot of shots off, they were not able to get any goals from us in this most recent match, because they just could not get it through our dense number of players. And of course, Katie Lund being excellent. I don't want to, you know, not call her out as well. And then, you know, they're also taking shots, they're being gutsy. There's been a lack of grittiness in this team. They would wait and want to score a showstopper, you know. They would wait and take too many touches to take the perfect shot, and then this time, you know, Sav just charged at the damn keeper and intercepted the ball. And are you gonna get that every time? No, but the fact we got it once means that everybody else is gonna try and do it now. And so that's not a mistake, but that's something else that has been improved. And I mean, I could go through and list probably 50 other things, you know, the way we're connecting passes, the way that we're communicating on the field, all this stuff has improved, markedly improved. Like, the exact mistakes you can pick out that cost us games earlier in the season, I have not seen repeated in these last three games. And that is really, really, really hopeful for me.
When we had that first game against Chicago, you know, my family's general way that we watch games is we watch the first half from our season ticket seats, and then we go someplace else in the season, somewhere else. And in that second half against Chicago, we went down and sat on the corner by the Estopinal end, got real low, almost front row. Looking out at those players, they were not going to lose. You could see it in their eyes. You could see, I mean, they're up 2-0, and you could see the way Jay Howell was attacking, the way Sav DeMello was attacking, that they refused to lose in the same way that we as fans have been begging them to play for the whole entirety of their existence, where we say, you just lay it on the line. If you're going to lose, lose playing hard, but also don't lose. I thought that, was it Jay or Savannah that gave a great quote after the last game, where they said, after we lost those games, or we lost against, or we drew against the Rain and against Angel City, we never wanted to feel that way again. And the way those players played, the look on their faces, the way they competed in through the 85th minute, you could tell you don't want to be dramatic, but they were going to leave everything out on the field competing to make sure that they didn't lose. And it was beautiful to watch. As fans, we say, put your neck on their throats. Don't even give them a chance to come back. And Racing didn't. We did not let up against Chicago. We did not let up against the Current. And we did not let up against the Current again. And it was fantastic to watch, to say that they are starting to hopefully realize the intensity that you need to win, not at club level, not in college, but in this league.
Tom, did you just say put your neck on their throats?
I probably did, which is probably not like as effective. That was year one, Racing, put their neck on your throats. Year three, Racing, put your
boot? Their boot on, on your throat? Yeah.
Probably better. That's, yeah. Well, I'm still in year two podcasting, so next year I'll figure that analogy out. I got very excited, but it was fantastic. And I want to shout out one quick moment. It was about in the 85th minute in that first game against Chicago. We were, you know, starting to take the air out of the ball. The ball was going towards the Chicago corner. And I don't know who the Chicago player was, but she flat out pushed Jay in the back, pushed her to the ground. And I don't want to say it was a dirty play. Like, yeah, but it was just a total frustration play. It was the kind of play that a player makes when she is beaten and frustrated. Jay picked herself up, took the corner, and just continued to play. Hopeful that she and her midfield mates are taking their incredible competitive energy and focusing it in the right direction to win games going forward.
Now, there were a few times over the last three games when players on the opponents got so angry, and like, nothing makes me happier than when you are like, or then when we are the team that is absolutely making people angry. Like, there's going to be a full-time classic gif or jif or whatever you want to call it of Dabinia shouting at the top of her lungs, F off! And like, if we can frustrate Dabinia that much, then God bless. Like, that is accomplished in and of itself.
Frustrate her and shut her out of game.
Yeah.
She did not score. Ooh.
And there were some chances there in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, there were two blocked shots and I think two saves all in like just stoppage time mm-hmm. last night. And Katie Lund at one point all her saves were good, but there was one, and I think it was a shot, I'm pretty sure it was the one where Kristen Hamilton put in a through ball and DiBernardo shot it from like only 8 yards out, like really right on top of Katie, and Katie mm-hmm. was able just to put her hand out and be like poop, and that was the sound effect that and, like, she did not like punch it down to the feet of another player or like overheads where it could be collected and sent in again. Like, she directed it perfectly, so I mean it went out for a corner, but it still stopped mm-hmm. like the hecticness of the play, and to do a stop like that short range and just be like punch, it's gone, is that was if that's not save of the week,
I agree.
You're never gonna hear the end of it from me. That is just a warning, everybody, like, better vote, because who knows what I will do if that's not save of the week.
Oh, that sounded ominous, Becky.
It will be.
She's the hardest working woman in WOSO. Let's not go that far. Let's not push her that far. The defense we've talked about, it's been fantastic. Well, I'm sure we'll get back to it. But let me ask you both this, and I'll start with you, Kaylin. What was your favorite goal from these past three games, and why?
Ooh, Tom. This is a hard Kaylin, question.
It's not. We know exactly what your favorite goal was.
I didn't want to take the easy answer. I was going to be nice and let you have it, but
it was the one, the wrecking yes. ball one. Come it's, on, yes. you need to get
it's,
the wrecking ball.
It's the Sav, yeah. The Sav DeMello outside of the foot shot from distance off of a very bad clearance from Adi Franch, Kansas City goalkeeper, one of two not good clearances by Kansas City keepers. They can't be doing that, guys. If I'm Kansas City,
you can't be doing that.
You just can't.
So we'll get to we're going to put a timeout right here. We're going to do a quick like injury timeout because Caitlin, you have said this over the last few pods. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. Now, most of us in Kentucky may know where this comes from, but as we have listeners all over the world, could you please expound on you can't be doing that?
Yeah, so you can't be doing that is a saying that gained popularity at the height of COVID in 2020. And it was said by our governor, Andy Beshear, when he was admonishing people about gathering in large groups. He would say, you can't be doing that, in his kind but stern Andy way. And so
disappointed, kind sitcom dad way.
Yes. Exactly. And so I've said it the last few episodes and as kind of an ode to Andy. And I think I want to make it a thing. You know, maybe like every week I'll just point out something that our team or the other team shouldn't be doing. And I don't know. It could be fun. What do you guys think?
I love it. I think you can be doing that, Caitlin.
I can be doing that. But okay, to get back to my favorite goal of the game, we referenced it earlier. Yeah, I said earlier, it's really audacious and skilled and just, I can't say enough good things about Sab DeMello. Like, she tries things that most people would not try. And yes, she... Becky, you did say it was the wrecking ball goal, and I guess we need to provide a little bit of context to that. So,
please.
Tom, you're not on Twitter, are you? Okay. For anyone who's not on Twitter, I'm on there a lot. It's probably annoying to some people, but whatever. I have a lot of thoughts. Anyway, so after this banger of a goal, the rest of Sav's teammates, Jalen Howell in particular, were extremely excited. They were hyped about this goal. So Jalen comes in like a, I don't know football terms. She
took her out. She almost
took Sav out. It looked like a football tackle. It was very close, but that's because she was so excited. Anyway, I was watching it and I was like, man, she came in like a wrecking ball. And so, since I like to humor myself, I did ask someone to make that video, a video of Jalen running into Sav and put Miley Cyrus's wrecking ball over it. And then eventually I just did it myself and I posted it and then it kind of became a thing. But that is the wrecking ball goal. It henceforth shall be known as. And yeah, that was my favorite goal, definitely. Becky, what was your favorite goal?
I mean, they're all my favorite goals, but I mean, that one is absolutely going to be one of my favorite goals of all time. But, you know, I'm going to actually say that my favorite goal is Parker Goins getting her goal, because that was just, it's tied between that and Wong Shuang, because I just love players getting their first goals. I love what it means for them, what it means to also just like put that nail in the coffin, because that was an important goal. That goal,
yeah,
when Parker Goins got that third goal late against Chicago, because, you know, up until that point, you could have said, oh, well, Racing only won because Chicago made mistakes, because Chicago gave them penalties. And maybe they were even soft penalties and Racing didn't deserve them. And so, like, if you erase the penalties and let's say Chicago didn't make those defensive mistakes, we still would have won because Parker Goins was relentless and gritty in going after that loose ball after Tembi passed it in. You know, Yuki went in for a sliding tackle and didn't quite corral it in, and Tierna Davidson was going up to it, but Parker was like, nope, still mine. pushed right through him and, you know, barely beat Nair and put it right into the corner of the goal, a low roller into the corner. And that is wonderful for Tembi. That is so excellent to have Katlana come in and get her first assist and then get another one. I mean, she's had two in like three appearances. That's pretty amazing. Or I guess now it's four, but still 50% of her appearances that have added up to about 45 minutes has yielded two assists. That is amazing. But even more so, I mean, Parker getting out there and actually, you know, earning those minutes, earning that goal, that was just a really nice moment for those individual players and for the team and the fans as a whole.
I loved that goal as well. It was so good, and it speaks to Parker's professionalism that she was ready. She's gotten very, very few minutes on this team. But the fact that she was ready to come in, be clinical, fight off the defense, just like you said, it is a real testament to her and the staff. I'm going to give shout outs to the coaching staffs as well to make sure that she continued to be mentally engaged. I think we're going to find that as the season goes on, the bench is going to be increasingly more important, and especially if we are going to keep pressing. Players get tired. You need to have good subs. Possibly a conversation for another time. My favorite goal was the Kirsten Davis goal. Fantastic assist by Savannah DeMello. The reason I liked that is I have been very high on Kirsten Davis on this podcast. I said that I owned all of her stock. I have been very critical of her and saying that we needed more production from, not just defensively. She's always worked incredibly hard on defense, but I think it was even the last podcast I said she needs to score goals. It wasn't just that she scored the last goal. It was the fact that it was one-touch goal. Kirsten, like a lot of players, especially young players, takes so many touches where she has a split-second window, but she tries to get the ball on, you know, a comfortable foot. She tries to square it up a little bit. And you don't have time for that in this league. The fact that she got the pass, one boot into the corner, I loved it. I hope we see more of it. I hope that gives her the confidence to continue to fight. And I love that we're getting some competition in our striker spot that, if you want to play, if you want to get minutes, you got to score goals. And this isn't a negative thing. This was a great team effort all around. Uchenna Kanu came in as a sub in that second Kansas City. Everybody is playing hard. I also like the fact that you play hard. But if you want to get on the field as an attacking player, you got to score goals. And that was probably my favorite Kirsten Davis goal, just because it showed technique, showed poise, and it showed confidence more so than I think any of her previous goals.
Was it a one-touch goal? I completely did not even take that in. I've just been so overwhelmed by, like, the sheer amount of perp that, like, I feel like, you know, normal things that'd be like, this is the most incredible thing that has happened all game are now being, like, I'm just, like, drowning in a wave of perp. So it's like, I'm losing the details. There's just too much.
Honestly, all the goals are kind of running together for me, which...
There's too many.
I'm not complaining. But it's
and if I'm wrong, if it wasn't a one touch goal, she still took the shot with very quickly. She took it without a ton of hesitation and with a lot of confidence.
Exactly.
So rather than dribble it three or four times trying to get, no, she got it off quickly, and that made all the difference.
It very well may have been a one-touch goal. I'm a little too afraid to actually do the math and think, like, how many goals we scored in this past 9 days versus, like, how long it took us to score this many goals in the past two seasons and where we were. Because I don't think it would be good. I think that we're actually... probably fairly close to beating the number of goals we've scored in the past two seasons already. Yeah. Is that an insane thing to guess? Because we have, well, I guess we have 12 goals, including Big Little Perp, Little Big Perp. Too much. I can't remember, guys. Yes, yes, we do. Yes, so it's, yes. We have 8 goals.
Yes.
So we have 8 goals, but we've scored multiple goals in other games. So, I mean, we probably have close to 20. If that's a lot of goals for racing. We have a positive goal differential, guys. We have a positive goal differential of 2 for only the second time in racing's history, I believe. We got utterly destroyed in goal differential in our first year. I think it was something like negative 13. And then last year it was still negative. It was substantially better, but it was still like negative 7. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't remember. See, I just block these. I think that I'm like a fairly good font of knowledge for racing history, but there's some things you just don't want to remember. And so the fact that we have a positive 2 at this point is actually, it's a big deal, and it's an even bigger deal because many, many teams do not. North Carolina has one more point than us, but they have negative 1 goal differential. Orlando Pride has the same number of points as us, but they have, I believe, a negative 4 goal differential still. Maybe negative 3. I think it might be negative 3 now. But even so, that means that even with the same number of points, if we both win our next games, they will need to score more than 5 goals to take the place ahead of us. This is why goal differential is so critically important. It is the first tiebreaker after points. So if we can keep this up, then I will be so happy. So happy. I will just be so happy. Let's just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I want to get into a little bit, and I've kind of asked some questions and put you all on the spot. So I don't want to do that at this moment, but I do want to say that when Savannah DeMello got that second yellow, she was out for Orlando. Every one of us as racing fans said to ourselves, well, Sav, I hope you learned your lesson. I hope you're going to come back and play hard because this team needs you. And Savannah DeMello came and said, you know what? I hear what you're going to say. I am going to set this GD league on fire and become an unstoppable soccer robot for the next week. We really cannot say enough about how dominant she has been and how integral she's been to this greatest week in racing history.
And she was embarrassed by it too. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, we had talked a couple times, like in the Angel City game and in this game, like she let her temper get the better of her, or the game ahead of the Orlando game, the All Rain game. That's right. I could, too much. I can't even remember what's happening. That she got the red card in, and like she was embarrassed. She was frustrated by it, and so I mean, I think she could have done 2 different things. She could have become even angrier and, you know, thrown even more of a temper tantrum at how unfair it was, because it was about the softest red card you could possibly get. That second yellow was like the dumbest reason to get a second yellow, which, I mean, dumb for her, but also a dumb reason for the ref to call. We can argue about this. Like, it was very soft. Was it? I don't want to rehash all of this again, but the bottom line is, like, she could have felt very persecuted and angry and gotten even angrier about it, or she could have looked in the mirror and said, I need to be better than this. And she definitely looked in the mirror and said, not only that I'm going to be better than this, she has been better than this. So real kudos to her as a young player for, you know, taking it seriously and responding in the best way possible, not just in terms of performance, but in terms of mentality.
Absolutely. I completely agree that, man, she's always been good. This is what frustrates me about the discourse of like, oh, she needs to be on the plane to New Zealand. She needed to be called into camp last summer, guys, to get integrated with the team.
Facts.
But yeah. So yeah. I don't
know. So that is definitely a point of conversation that I think is worth having. I mean, not just because I'm about to write an article about this for Equalizer and I want to steal all our ideas for it, but because, like, but for real, I mean, it is a conversation that needs to be had because it is a conversation that is being had already. Sav DeMello to the World Cup. I mean, there are strong arguments for and against it. Against it, she is not integrated into the team. you know, chemistry is so important, blah, 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 for it. She is on fire. And we have an injured and not in great shape midfield. I mean, what's happening with Korniak? What's happening with Lavelle? Horan is limping constantly. So, like, getting a really dynamic midfielder that can fill in multiple positions, can play as a 6, 8, or 10 seems pretty, pretty enticing. At the same time, like, I desperately want her to be able to go to the World Cup because it would be so amazing. I also desperately, desperately do not want her to because I'm scared of what racing will look like without her. I mean, I do want to say that, like, it's easy to look back and say that her not being there in Orlando is what caused them to play horribly, and it definitely did play a role, but, like, that was a whole team failure. Yeah. Like, yeah, that they are better than that, and I think they know that. So, like, should she go, I think that we have very good players who would be able to do a very good job, but, man, it would really hurt us not to have DeMello. So, like, I'm very of two minds. I still... She could edge in there. I mean, it could be like the story of, like, the national team. Like, I mean, it's one of those, like, too good to be true. But then, like, would it be better for her to go and sit on a bench and probably not get minutes? Or would it be good for her to stay and absolutely tear it up in the NWSL? Lots of complicated thoughts on this. What do you guys think about it? Start with you, Caitlin.
Look, I love when any racing players get called up to the national team. It's a huge honor. And I would love for Sav to go. I'd love for Jalen to go. That's another conversation, yeah, but we won't get into. And Carson. Yeah, we have multiple players that could go. However, Katie Lund.
Let's not give Lacone ideas.
I know. But, like I said, the time to integrate those players was last year. And I think I do think it's too late to integrate her, because we have seen players that kill it in the NWSL, just tear it up. Then they get to the national team and it's like, oh, that didn't transfer. I'm not saying that would happen with Sav. That could,
but a World
absolutely.
Cup is a heck of a time to expect you to transition.
Exactly. And so I would love for her to go because, you know, I want what's best for her personally, career-wise, whatever. But I just don't, I don't think that it would do her any good to, like you said, be taken all the way to Australia, New Zealand to sit on the bench, because mm-hmm. I don't think she's going to go in there and get a starting spot.
No.
And so, and also, we don't have to get into who is she going to replace. That's not been in the conversation this entire time. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Yeah. If she was going to replace anyone, Blacko would have probably, I think, would have called her in already before now at the 11th hour. So I want it to happen for her. I don't think it will. So, yeah. And selfishly, for racing's benefit, I would like her to stay. But Tom, what do you think? Yeah.
Well, y'all follow the national team much more closely than I do. I'd say that first, number one, she wants to go. I mean, it's pretty clear. Like, she says the professional things, but she wants to go.
No, she said she wants to go. She said that she's focused on playing for the city and the team, and that she takes great pride in that.
She's saying all the right things. She's a class act. She is a competitor, and I would love for her to start pulling down a few months of those sweet, sweet national team paychecks. That said, I'm with Caitlin. I don't think that she's integrated enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you, and plus the national team, you've got big personalities, big egos, not without merit. I mean, they have been the most dominant national team for what, 20, 30 years?
Since the existence of women's soccer, yeah.
Not to overstate it, but since the existence of women's soccer. But we're talking about the wrecking ball goal. Is she taking that on at the national team, you know,
maybe,
in a World
Cup? Absolutely, maybe. Tom, she would try
with
it.
The confidence she has right now, yes. And I mean, that's the thing is, she could be another Rose Lavelle that just absolutely balls out and then becomes a household name, except Rose was integrated in and even got some call-ups prior to the previous World Cup, I believe, or just right after.
No, I agree that she's got the talent to do it. 100%. I wonder if, you know, if she comes in with, you know, 20 minutes left in a 1-1 game. I mean, you know, who's passing her the ball? So I think that, like I said, I would love for her to get those sweet, sweet national team paychecks. I would think that this seems to be a bit of a turning over the national team roster this year. If she does not make the trip to New Zealand this year, I hope that she enjoys the Olympics in 2 years. She will go. I hope that she will enjoy. And oh, 1 year in the Olympics?
Yeah, following year. It's next year.
Oh, yeah. So I hope she enjoys the Olympics. I hope she will enjoy going to 3 or 4 future World Cups. She's got it in her. She's got everything going for her. And, you know, we mentioned it with a second ago, not just her. Jay Howell has been, I mean, is there not a cliche player than Jay? And by that, I mean, Jay is doing all of the dirty work. This last 3-game stretch, she is doing all of the dirty work. She is making all the hard tackles, making all the tough runs, getting the assists, getting the goals. No, but you cannot watch Racing play, especially the way they play that high press, and not realize that we do not have 3 wins in 8 days if not for Captain Jay Howell, who has been playing out of her mind.
Oh, in almost every single game, you know, you watch Jay and you see the performance and you're like, she's doing really freaking well. And then you look at the stats and you're like, oh my God. Yep. She has topped almost every single game of players on both teams in not every time, but in either tackles, interceptions, or duels, and duels won and tackles won. And so like that, she is absolutely winning the ball like an absolute fiend and killing it. And if I she did not have as good a last year, so I do understand like why she needed to prove herself, but if she is not in the picture potentially like for the Olympics, you know, there's usually a December camp where like prospects are brought into the national team again to be looked at, and if she's not part of that, I'm gonna be so angry. But just really quickly going back to Sav, this is not an argument for putting her in the World Cup because none of this stuff should determine it. But just putting a little more context to it that does make it a little more bittersweet and harder is to remember that Sav is significantly older than Jay because she stayed in school longer because she had a bad injury. And if you know the full story of Savannah, in 2019, I'm pretty sure, before she was injured, she was ready to leave college and go pro and already knew who was going to draft her and was ready to be called into a national team senior camp. I don't know if this is before the World Cup or after it, probably right after it.
Who was going to draft her, Becky?
I don't know. I have no idea. Said in a podcast that it was all like it makes me think that she was going to go first. Because if you know that certain, then you know that someone's not going to pick you above. So she was either going to go first or second. We could probably go back and figure out who had a good idea, but I don't know. But either way, she tore her Achilles. She completely ruptured it. Took a year, maybe even a little more than a year, to come back. All that is delayed. No idea how she's going to come back. She comes back, and then COVID immediately hits. So then she's delayed even longer and has a harder time proving herself. So now, you know, she's 25, 20. I can't remember. She's 26. I think she's 25.
Yeah, she's 25.
She's 25. Yeah. You know, she's potentially missing this World Cup after, you know, supposed to be getting senior national team call-ups for the last 3 years, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And next World Cup, she's going to be closer to 30. You know, like these are possibly the best years of her life. I mean, there's always going to be an upwards trajectory, but I mean, she does not have 3 or 4 World Cups in her. She potentially has 1, maybe 2 after if she doesn't go to this one. And that's really heartbreaking to me. And again, that happens. That's just crap luck that is just how the cookie crumbles. And she said that she's so thankful that she ended up in Louisville and that things worked out the way it did. Not that she would like didn't want to go to where was probably going to draft her, but because she's very happy here. And so there's a happy ending to all of this. But it really breaks my heart that this incredible player who should by all accounts be a generational player might not make her first World Cup until she's practically 30. That makes me sad.
I totally understand that aspect of it, and that's a bit of a bummer as well. But if you think about it, if she is as consistently as good as we've seen her be, she's going to have a long career. And I do not think this is her one and only chance to go to a World Cup by any means.
No, I don't, but it's still limiting the number that she could.
There's a really deep pool of players in our midfield right now. That is why, you know, I feel like she keeps getting looked over. Hopefully not for much longer, but the players that play her position are ahead of her right now.
Yeah, same with Jaylen.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Jaylen. So it just speaks to the depth of talent on the squad. And so it is so special when they get called up. And so yes, it is a bummer if she doesn't make this squad. But I don't think it's going to be her only chance by any means.
Oh, no, it's not. It's just, it's been so delayed that it's sad to have it be delayed again.
Well, when we're talking about, you know, we've ridden a 3-game high on this podcast, we're bringing it down, talking about a little bit of a bummer with Savannah's injuries. I want to talk about a different kind of bummer, which is Racing's history against the North Carolina Courage, which has been, shall I say, to this point, underwhelming.
It's been bad,
very
Tom.
Euphemistic way of
terrible, Tom. Terrible.
It's been bad.
It's been real bad. Real bad.
But we have a chance on Saturday night to right a wrong, to try and turn that around. Caitlin, I'll start with you. What do you think is the key to victory for Racing this weekend against the Courage?
I think it's the two keys to victory are the two players we picked off from the Courage, and that's Carson Pickett and Abby Erceg. One, because of their immense talent that we've already talked about. And two is, I think, and especially Abby, they're going to be playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder because they got traded away.
I think like Abby has the big old size of the state of North Carolina.
You're right. Absolutely. They're going to be playing with a huge chip on their shoulder, and they're going to want to beat their former team that traded them away. So that mentality, I hope, is going to be contagious throughout the rest of the team. And yeah, that's going to be the key. And also, if you think about it, they kind of have a little bit of a leg up. No, they do have a leg up because they played with a lot of these players already. So they kind of know, you know, what they're going to do, how
they know
to,
the coach and the system.
Exactly. And how to shut it down. So that's also going to be really helpful. So I think all those factors are really going to hopefully give us the edge over North Carolina.
What about you, Becky?
So, like, the thing for North Carolina is, I mean, we have the edge of coming off 3 freaking wins. They just had a really, really frustrating draw with Angel City at home in front of a record crowd where they outplayed Angel City in statistically. I didn't watch the game, but I mean, they had more shots, they had more chances, everything, and just got stymied and frustrated. And that's kind of the history of North Carolina with scoring this season so far. So they have 1 point more than us. They have one more win than us, but they also have one more loss. But they've scored fewer goals than us. They've scored 8 to our 11. Oh, that answers my question from before. We've only scored 11. We've scored
really
8 goals in the last 9 days, but we've only scored 11. That seems wrong. I feel like I need to check.
That's not right. That's not right.
But they, either way, we have still scored significantly more goals than they have. And so if we can score more than 2 or even score 2, we have a really good chance of beating them, because I don't think the Courage has scored more than 1 goal in games that they have scored, except for the 3-3 crazy draw in Portland. So I don't know. That's a good sign to me. One thing we have been doing this season is scoring goals. One thing they have not been doing as well is scoring goals. So the key to, shocker, is going to be scoring goals, and then also really locking down the defense. But I mean, if anybody can do it, I think Abby, Carson, Lauren, and either Lester or Ellie are the ones who will be able to do that. So and then Jay, of course, and her role. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. The fact that we have the momentum, I think we can carry it through. And I also think that the club is just really, really going to be wanting to get that first win against North Carolina after all the humiliating, like 5-0, 5-1 matches we have been put through by them.
Brutal. Just brutal.
Utterly brutal.
It's ugly. Ugly.
Also, Tom, were you going to bring this up, or do I need to? We know this is the first time we will be playing against one Emily Fox since she has left the club. How do you feel about that, Tom?
This is a safe space, Tom. This is a safe space.
You know, let me get my thoughts together. Breathe in, breathe out. Becky, you are one of my dear friends. I love talking to you about the club. I love talking to you and getting your opinion on racing. And I will tell you that when you were talking just now, all I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher, because I was not think. All I could think about was the fact that this Saturday, Emily Fox comes to Lynn Family Stadium, and she is going to be wearing the most generic of generic horrible kits for the most generic name club who's been dominant in this league. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I am a crier. Like, I cry very, very easily. And so I make it a point in life not to put myself in a position where I'm going to be emotional. Like, I'm not going to see Marley in Me. You know, I'm not going to go see it. I'm not going to go see The Note. I'm not going to go see The Notebook. I saw The Notebook once, so The English Patient, like sad movies. I don't do it. I don't go to like the Titanic exhibit. I don't put myself in a position where I'm going to cry. And I keep thinking, I swear to you both, when this schedule came out, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to go to that game. I can't go, because I cannot. You know what's going to happen at some point. Emily, the biggest knock on Emily Fox is that she mentally can check out during games. She is going to be more dialed in. She's going to be dialed in like a national cup game or a national team game. She's going to be totally dialed in for this game. And she is going to take the ball upfield, and it's going to be beautiful and heartbreaking all at once. And she might score a goal, because she's just so talented. And I'm like, it breaks my heart.
Tom, don't put that out in the universe. Don't put that out in the universe.
If she can do that, then why hasn't she?
That was my first part. That was my first part. But let me.
Tom, she's going to do that. She's going to run smack into Jalen Howell.
The wrecking ball, yes.
That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Oh, captain, my captain, Jalen Howell. She won't let her score. But interviewed Ryan Dell. I asked him about, you know, what happens with, you know, hypothetical free agents. So and afterwards, fun. You guys were like, you were talking about Emily Fox. And I'm like, maybe, maybe not. Who's to say?
Yes.
Lots of free agents in the NWSL.
Sure, sure.
But then the following weekend, I watched the movie Hoosiers. And in the movie Hoosiers, there is a scene where, you know, you've got the team and the star player isn't playing on the team, and they've got a pep rally without the star player, and the fans start chanting, "We want Jimmy, we want Jimmy," who's the star player that's not there. And then the coach goes and he says, he gives an impassioned speech, "I wish that you would support who we are and not who we are not." Why? I got a little teary-eyed because I thought, how could I not be support? How could I be holding a candle for Emily Fox? I love her. She was a bright joy for this team, for my fandom of racing, and I wish her nothing but the best. But I am going to support who we are and not who we are not. Carson Pickett and Abby Ersegg have been playing their hearts out, and they have more than earned my support as a fan, and I am looking forward to watching them. They are racing players. I am pulling for them, and I hope that they just beat the hell out of North Carolina. I hope, I am tired of North Carolina running through our midfield and scoring goals at will, and regardless of who is on that other team, I want that win. And when I cry on Saturday night, I want it to be, I am crying with joy that we have slayed that North Carolina dragon and that racing has finally won.
Tom, I think we need to like do some kind of like little ceremony. I don't watch The Bachelor or anything like that, but I think you need to like take a little framed photo of Emily Fox and like say goodbye to it, and then like send it down the river and like watch it float away and be like, I'm letting go, Emily, you're free. And then you can like set a little rose next to a little picture of Abby and Carson and be like,
yep,
I choose you.
That's a great idea.
I don't know how we make that happen, but I am on board. And I by the way, I just want to say, like, I really appreciate you both. I really appreciate the Butchertown Rundown audience allowing me to feel my feelings with this special player, with the player who I once said was the franchise, but now she can be someone else's franchise because we got Jay, we got Savannah, we got, and I'll say this, and tell me if I'm wrong, is Paige Monahan going to be going against Emily Fox? Like, are they going to be on the same side?
I don't know, because Emily's played both left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is they're probably going to send her against Lauren and the right side. But I mean,
so that would be Wong, right?
Yeah, and Wong. But I mean, the thing is, her whole thing has been cutting in centrally. Like, she's barely gone all the way up in the flanks. She's only done it a couple times. So like, it really is probably mostly going to be Jay and Abby and Lester or Ellie that she is going against. Except I also want to say, like, one thing I want to point out too is like, Carson has been hustling and getting back to defend in these past few games, because in the Portland game, like, I don't want to make it sound like it was all Carson's fault, but the far post was left open on Morgan Weaver's goal because Abby was left to choose who she was going to go to out of like three players, and she went to the one who had possession. And Lund was defending the near post against Katie Lund. And Carson's whole job is to get back and mark that far post to clear in that gap between Abby and Katie. And she has done it like a baller. Like, teams will transition and then like Carson will like just like teleport next to Abby. Like, I don't even like see how she gets there. So like, major kudos to Carson for not just doing an excellent job at moving the ball forward, because I feel like that like has gotten the most attention, but she has absolutely been killing it as a defender in these past few games, and that has been one of the keys to our success. So let's not, we've praised Abby a whole lot. I want to just give that little praise to Carson. And, you know, Carson has signed with us to 2025, and Abby has since signed with us for an extra year through 2024. So that is really great. And they just bought a house in Louisville. So they are the newest Louisvillian landowners. So kudos to that.
Well, that's fantastic. I look forward to them joining their neighborhood's Facebook feed and hearing about how catalytic converters are getting stolen in their house, and what is the appropriate time to start mowing their grass.
All those important things in life, yeah.
all those important things. Well, I know that I have a lot of hyperbole on this podcast. I want to say that since that first Chicago game, I have been thinking to myself, what is Caitlin going to put in the mint mix? And then we won again. And I thought, holy hell, what is Caitlin going to put in the mint mix? Then we won again. What is Caitlin going to put in the mint mix? Caitlin, you have a win streak to add to the mint mix. What are we putting in this week?
This has to be a mega entry because so many people have submitted songs. I have songs. This is 9 points worth of songs, Caitlin.
Yes. 9 points worth of sweet, sweet victory tunes. So I'm going to share the three that I picked out. And then I also have three honorable mentions that people sent in to us. And there's countless more. If I didn't get to it, you know, we're going to be winning plenty of other games. So hold on to those.
Yeah.
So, so the first song I have, obviously it's Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus because Jalen is our wrecking ball. Like she just is. She does kind of just like run through players and her teammates. Yeah, so
she has wrecking ball vibes. Let's be real.
So definitely, she's a wrecking ball. The next song that I have is About Damn Time by Lizzo. Because that first win we got, man, all of us, if we didn't say it, we surely were thinking it's about damn time we got to win. So that's song number two. The last one that I have is All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled. You know, the chorus, nice. The chorus is All I Do Is Win, 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 no matter what. And what did we do over the last week and a half? We won, 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 no matter what. So those were, I thought those summed up the week pretty well. And then the honorable mentions that I have are Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. You know, nice. It's Dog Days Losing Over. Never Going Back Again by Fleetwood Mac. I mean, it's kind of same theme as Dog Days Are Over, you know, the bad stuff. We're not going back to it. Last one that I have is Run Away With Me by Carly Rae Jepsen. This is just a really happy, feel good. It's got a nice sexy sax solo in it that I love. And I love that suggestion. So those were all great, great suggestions sent in by listeners. And keep thinking of them. Let us know when you have them. But Becky, you said you had a contribution or contributions.
I actually did not see that someone suggested Dog Days Are Over because that is the song that I've been dying put in because it is a perfect song. Have you listened to the lyrics of it?
Yeah.
The lyrics are literally about running and horses are coming. It is a song about like suddenly being hit by happiness to the point you don't know what to do. Like you've been kind of like been afraid to let it come in and then boom, it hits you like a train. Mm-hmm. And then the lyrics literally that are repeated over and over again are run fast for your mother, run fast for your father, run for your children, for your sisters and brothers. The dog days are over. The dog days are done. Can you hear the horses? Because here they come. It is the perfect song to sum up this time. So I'm going to insist that it is not an honorable mention, that it makes it onto the mint mix. It is an executive demand by me with absolutely no executive powers over this podcast, but I'm still going to demand it. So
Becky, I'll allow it.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I will allow it. And while we're on it,
the second one though, and this doesn't have to make it, but it was A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles because my God, if they have not had A Hard Day's Night this past 9 days, then I don't know who has. So
yes. And you know what? I'm thinking about it now. The mint mix can be, I came up with the idea. It can be whatever I want. I'm going to put all of these on it.
Go wild.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Tom, while we're on it,
that's the kind of audacity I would expect from Sav DeMello. Way to take that inspiration.
We're going for it.
Going for it. Yes. Tom, to put you on the spot yet again, do you have a contribution? this week?
No, I do not have a contribution to the mint mix. I will. This is my contribution to put this into the universe that at some point this year, it will be appropriate for you, Caitlin, to put a song from multi-platinum Louisville hometown boy Jack Harlow onto the mint mix. It's a long season. I am looking, he has hit upon hit upon hit. I look forward to when you find that sweet spot like a curler into the upper left-hand corner to add him to the mint mix.
Yes, yes. That the moment has to be right, has to be perfect and just right. So keeping that in the back of my mind for the mint mix.
Fantastic. The mint mix is so awesome. So awesome. Well, we are coming towards the end, which means we are looking at 3 points for this show, where each of us has one final point. I will start to give you all a second to kind of get your minds together. And my point is this. Oh, Captain, my Captain, Jay Howell. Jay has played with heart. She has played with leadership. She has done the dirty work. She has played the way that you want a captain to play. Even before the season, I was like, you know what? Jay Howell seems like she's got the energy to really pull this team up and be a great captain. She's a little young, maybe, maybe not. Kim gave her the armband. She has earned it. And I feel, also, I'll be honest, like, I feel confident in this team's mentality with her wearing that armband. There are lots of leaders on this team. I'm not going to take anything away from Abby. I'm not going to take anything away from Savannah. I'm not taking anything away from Katie or Lomele. I'm not taking away from any of the leaders on this team. But only one player wears the armband, and I feel really, really good for the rest of this season that the player that is going to be the captain of this team, that is going to be motivating them through tough stretches, hot weather, tired legs, is Jay Howell. She is a baller. I'm glad she is on her team.
I love it. I absolutely love it, and I agree 100%. I am tempted to name another player as my point, but I'm not going to. I'm going to instead say that, you know, a common adage in sports psychology is winning is a habit, and you need to see yourself winning in order to win. And it's something that Abby has vocalized. I mean, not surprisingly, she has a degree in psychology and she's very into this type of thing. And she's also a very veteran leader. And so this is something that she's tried to instill in the club. And it's something that other players have also mentioned. And so I want to prove that. I want to prove that winning is a habit. I don't know what the results will be, but I want to see them come out as if they believe 100% that they're winning this game. I don't want them to come out like they're playing North Carolina. I don't want them to come out and playing like they are racing Louisville. I want them to come out and play like winners, no other context, and fight to get another excellent result for us. So yeah, I want winning to be a habit for this club starting. Well, it's already started. I want to keep them to keep it going.
Yeah, I love that point, Becky. And my point, it's kind of going to be based on something that our captain said. There, you know, the team posts these videos sometimes of like pregame huddles. And they posted one, I forgot what game it was, but it had Jaylen kind of giving the pep talk before the game. And she said, play for the girl standing next to you. Play for the person standing next to you. And to me, this last game especially, but even the two games before that, they have been playing, the entire team has been playing for each other. They always say they want to do that. That's their goal. We haven't always seen it pan out, but especially last night, all I could notice was how in sync everyone was. And that is because they were playing for each other. Like, if you go back and watch, especially that second half, you go back and watch, if somebody lost the ball, one of Racing's players was there to immediately either scoop it up or pass it off. And that speaks to a level of comfortability the players have with each other. And just also the desire to want to help out and do whatever is necessary to win and make their teammates better. So I've been so impressed with how they've played for each other, and I want them to continue to do that in this next game and going forward.
So great. So many good points. This has been, the most fun Butchertown Rundown episode ever, probably. But here's hoping that next time we have an episode, we'll be talking with an even better streak, with even more happy results. The good times continue to roll.
I have one really last quick point of clarification, actually, to make, just to wrap up 3 points. We do, in fact, only have 11 goals. I couldn't let that just stand. 11 in regular season play.
That is why she is the hardest working woman in WOSO, ladies and gentlemen.
Hardly.
We've got that goal total. Let's go ahead and put 5 or 6 on North Carolina and keep that tally going. Morgan, Caitlin, this was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it. Go Big Perp. Run fast for your mother. Run fast.